Joining me now is the Roger Stone. Roger, welcome back to Lindell TV. Thank you for joining us, Roger.
Brandon, I am delighted to be with you. And it's always both fun and entertaining to follow Mike Lindell. I don't know how you follow that. The guy's he's just a ball of energy. He's a true patriot. And the fact that he understands that the biggest single issue in this country today is that for the first time in our history, all mass communications are being controlled and censored.
Yes.
Whether it's broadcast TV, cable TV, print media, magazines, newspapers, and so on, the internet most certainly, there's one narrative. It is the narrative of an establishment, of a cabal between liberal Democrats and their corporate media sponsors. I believe the media owns the politicians, not the other way around. And basically a ruling elite in this country who are still upset and butthurt over the election of Donald Trump, who have gone out of their way to destroy great patriots like General Michael Flynn, who is literally one of the greatest men I've ever known. You know, General Flynn and I were tried in the same courthouse, and we didn't know each other, but we had essentially the same persecutors. So we had a good phone relationship and text relationship for a year and a half before I ever chanced to meet this great man. But he's a man of principle. He's a man of destiny. He's got an incredible family. I'm an honorary member of the Flynn family. He's got nine brothers and sisters, Joe, Jack, Mary. These are great, great people, great American patriots. You know, they all used to be Democrats, but they've woken up to what's going on in this country.
Absolutely.
So just the fact that Mike Lindell understands that we've got to educate the people, we've got to reach the people, we've got to be able to talk to the people, and that he set up a great site like this, and now he's taking it local because all politics is local. It's a great tribute to Mike.
Indeed it is. Logan, why don't you come out here if you get a chance, Logan. I've had these for a while, Logan, but I wanted to present them to you on screen, on camera. Logan, you don't have to come on camera, but just come out into the room. Roger sent us these. Roger Stone still did nothing wrong. Roger sent this over for one for me and one for Logan. Logan, you coming out here, buddy? I want to hand these to you. And then he also here, so you can have that shirt. He sent that. He also sent you this. You need to get this framed and hang this. I'm going to hang mine up. This is executive grant of clemency. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, to all whom these presidents shall come, greeting. And he went on, and it is the pardon of Roger Stone. He signed it to you, Logan. So this is an historical document signed personally by Roger Stone. You should frame that and keep that. I'm going to frame mine. And then he says to Logan, this is to you, and this again is Roger Stone. Roger Stone did nothing wrong. He's wearing his own Roger Stone did the wrong shirt. It's a picture of the FBI taking him in. You should frame both of those. I got mine as well, my shirt and my two pictures over here. I'm going to frame those. And if you guys want to get Logan says, thank you, Roger. If you guys want to get any of this merchandise, historical merchandise, you can go to stonecoldtruth.com. Right, Roger?
That's absolutely right. So, look, I'm all about the merch. You know, I've been watching Mike Lindell, so I'm starting to catch on. By the way, do all your Christmas shopping at MyPillow, but use promo code STONE while you're at it. You can help the Stone family have put groceries on the table.
But most people I would cut off when they steal my promo code time, but not you, Roger.
I wouldn't do it if I didn't need it.
I know that's the truth, Roger.
Let me answer your questions. To get the T-shirts, go to rogerstonestore.com. Rogerstonestore.com. And you can find that classic T-shirt, the Roger Stone Still Did Nothing Wrong T-shirt, the T-shirt that I was arrested in. The actual T-shirt I was arrested in will be auctioned off shortly by my good friend Pete Santilli.
Really?
On his show. Absolutely. He's doing an auction to help my wife and I raise money for our legal defense fund.
So go
ahead.
Would that be verified by the sweat audit and everything, Roger?
No, it's definitely been laundered, I must tell you. I'll even spray it with a little aqua de parma, but you know, this is actually the shirt that I was arrested in.
Good grief.
As you know, we have combated 17 frivolous, baseless, substantiated, vicious, defamatory lawsuits. The mainstream media would have you believe that I'm the mastermind of January 6th, when in fact, I wasn't there, don't know anything about it. Wasn't on the ellipse, didn't march to the Capitol, didn't go to the Capitol, was in my hotel or within my hotel grounds the entire day. Don't know a thing about it. But you wouldn't know that if you watched ABC News, let's say.
That's absolutely right.
Guilt by association. Look, the deep state had a rough time this week.
They did. Let me ask you about that. Let me ask you this, because, again, we're going to roll through a lot of stuff as fast as we can and then open the phone lines. So I want to ask you about this Durham indictment on the Russian hoax, the whole Russia hoax. And there's some names, and maybe for the lay people who don't follow this as closely as political junkies like us, tell us who some of these people are, some of these names, who's been indicted, what were they indicted for? You were warning about some of this and predicting some of this as far back as what, 2017?
Yes. I mean, the sad truth is that Donald Trump's national security apparatus was penetrated by a Soros mole who was brought in by H.R. McMaster. Now, H.R. McMaster was the national security advisor who on numerous occasions would get intoxicated and tell important people, I'm saving Trump from himself. You don't understand. The only thing that stands between me and nuclear war is, Donald Trump and nuclear war is me. And this guy had a globalist background and a globalist agenda. He hired a woman named Fiona Hill. Fiona Hill previously was the editor of globalist.com. She was on the board of George Soros's Open Society Foundation. Why she would be in the Trump White House is mind-boggling. She gave an incredible interview, which is Leslie Storr of CBS, when in 2017, I outed her on the Alex Jones show on InfoWars and in a print piece at Stone Cold Truth. The only reason I stumbled into this information, Brandon, is because a conservative Hungarian politician tipped me off that Hill, inside the White House, was trying to pressure the Trump State Department and the Trump foreign policy apparatus to give a hard time to the Hungarian government, which at that point recognized that Soros is abets terrorism and treason and seeks to overturn democracies. So that's how I stumbled into this. Now, Fiona Hill is revealed by John Durham last week to have been involved in the direct collection of the data for the bogus Steele dossier. This connects not only Fiona Hill to Igor, the Russian who was arrested and charged by Durham, but also to Eric Ciarella, who is an operative for Adam Schiff and the CIA, and the guy who basically tries to falsify the entire bogus Ukrainian impeachment hoax. Let's call that impeachment 2.0. So now some Republicans have figured out, including Congressman Jim Jordan, that it should be Fiona Hill's time in the barrel. This woman goes on an interview with Leslie Stahl and she says, I don't know what a globalist is. I'm completely non-political, Leslie. And Leslie, who's calcified, plays along with this completely bogus argument. These people tried to take out a president. They're busted. Now, here's the point. It all leads directly. Fiona leads this entire cabal of Russians to Chuck Dolan, who brings them in connection with Hillary Clinton. The whole criminal trail leads right to Kankles herself, Hillary Clinton. And I say it's time to lock this woman up. This is a classic stunt of the left. Always.
Did you say Kankles?
I was on a roll. What can I say?
You were on a roll.
This is a classic tactic of the left. In other words, always accuse your opponent of what you have done. In other words, they say Donald Trump was leaning on the Ukrainian government to investigate Biden. No, Biden was leaning on the Ukrainian government not to investigate his corrupt son in Burisma. And that's a fact.
And you believe that this Russian collusion hoax, which is collapsing, that you believe that the criminal trail leads to who? Adam Schiff?
I think it leads directly to Hill. Fiona Hill to Chuck Dolan to Hillary Clinton. It's right there. John Durham has given us a roadmap. Now, whether Mr. Durham has the tenacity and the integrity, given that he works for Merrick Garland, to follow the trail wherever it goes, or whether this will be politicized as we have seen so much happen at the Biden Justice Department. Look, I'm facing a lawsuit, not a lawsuit, but a civil suit by the Biden Justice Department over my 2007 and 2008 back taxes. It's an absurdity. Every assertion in the lawsuit is incorrect. I've hidden nothing and I've failed to report nothing and I have no assets. I was essentially, bankrupted by the Mueller investigation. So this is just another example of harassment of patriots. It's kind of like the FBI bursting into the offices of Project Veritas, as well as their founder, who's a very good friend of mine, James O'Keefe.
And we're trying to get him on this week. So we left his office a message this morning. any help there would be greatly appreciated.
I understand you've just recently booked Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So
thanks to you.
I'm happy to be your booker. He's a good man, and he's got an incredibly powerful new book that completely exposes Tony Fauci. Let me tell you this right now.
By the way, let me thank you for getting that done for us, by the way. That's coming up on Thursday, week from Thursday.
Terrific. Let me say this. I've had it up to here with Tony Fauci. You know, the other thing that's really in the news that I can't believe, do you think, in all honesty, when John F. Kennedy was in Vienna?
Yeah, my Logan wants to see, thank you, Logan. Logan just said in my ear, are you going to tell Roger that you're probably about the same height as Fauci? I'm 5'6", Roger, okay?
It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about you. I like
I know,
you.
I know.
It's him to get up with.
I know.
In all honesty, the other thing that's in the news that is extraordinary, I only asked you because you're a student of history. Brandon, I know you like history.
I do. I love history.
So do you think when JFK was in Vienna negotiating with Nikita Khrushchev that he crapped his britches? What do you
No, I don't. But
when Richard Nixon was closing the strategic arms limitation deal with Leonid Brezhnev, do you think he soiled his pantaloons? What do you think?
No.
When Jimmy Carter was at Camp David with Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin, putting together the fine details of Camp David Accords, do you think he was making room for lunch? What do you think? I mean, look, do you think when Donald Trump met with the Pope that he dropped a deuce? No way. But Joe Biden crapped his pants before he met the Pope, and now all of America is shitting a brick. Pardon me, ladies, I couldn't help it.
Okay, the views and opinions of the guests are not necessarily those of the host or the network and its management.
The blunt language, but sometimes there's a certain word that just fits the situation. We now know because he's wearing different pants in two different pictures with the Pope, they switched them out.
Say that again?
No, but if you look very carefully, that in the two different photos with the Popes, they've switched out his suit pants. So they're different. They're a different color. Which gives, I think, some credence to the sources who have come forward to say that he had a bathroom accident of some time. Look, I am told by some in the Secret Service that they may be treating him with drugs to deal with his alertness and that the side effect of that is diarrhea. I said it on a radio show. I was mocked and attacked. And a week later, there you go.
Wow.
StoneColdTruth.com.
StoneColdTruth.com. The stuff you learn when you tune into the show and Roger Stone comes on. So we know that there were supposed, and from credible sources, that going around Rome within hours, there was this story that he had this bathroom issue. Now you're saying there's pictures where he's actually changed his pants. I don't imagine many presidents or guests show up to meet the Pope and change their pants in between the meetings while still at the Vatican.
Well, not only that, but look at the video of him chest poking a gun owner, and getting riled. That's what happens when you have dementia. That if you talk to people, people with dementia get very angry when you don't agree with everything they say, even when they say might be demented. For Joe Biden to say, I'm not trying to take away your guns. And then he says to the guy, I'm only taking away guns from bad people. Well, who gets to define who the bad people are? His FBI, his Justice Department? I mean, we have a two-tiered justice system in this country.
Yep.
So, and the lawfare that is allowed, I mean, I'm still facing an additional, I think, 7 lawsuits, civil lawsuits filed by kooks, crackpots, nut jobs, leftists, Democrats. Well, wait a minute, I'm being redundant there, aren't I?
You're on a roll tonight, Roger.
I mean, look, you've seen the list. You and I have talked about it. I choose to fight on. I'm not settling any of these suits. You know why? Because just as Jesus Christ saw me through my previous adversity and today is healing my wife, who's been, as you know, tragically.
How is your wife doing? How is she doing? Give me an update.
She's doing amazingly well. Thank you for asking. You know why? Because prayer has power. And she's just a very tough a woman. She's spiritually in a great place. She's physically in a great place. The alternative cancer treatments that we've chosen, the holistic, homeopathic, some of them are very expensive. Folks who want to help us at StoneFamilyFund.com. That would be great, Stone Family Fund. But there's light at the end of the tunnel here. I really believe she's going to be fine. It has been very tough on our family. And of course, insurance only covers the things that modern medicine likes. And modern medicine has been corrupted the same way every other institution in the country. Big Pharma is among the largest problems in this country. I believe that we have many, many drugs that have been developed that would give hope to those struggling with cancer. But whether they'll ever be legalized for that purpose, I really question. So I thank you for asking, and I really thank you and Logan and your family for your prayers.
Absolutely, Roger. Here's the book you sent me, and it's signed. I love books written by authors when they personally sign them to me, which he did. And every time I show something white, it throws the iris on my camera's nuts, so I got to stop doing that. But it's called Stone's Rules, How to Win at Politics, Business, and Style. Roger Stone, introduction by Tucker Carlson. This is, again, he's got a lot of stuff there at stonecoldtruth.com. He's got his different rules. I'll go through a few of these first in a minute, but this is what I've been flipping through while he was also talking, because I can do more than one thing at the same time. But, Roger, I had Laura Loomer on the other night. You know Laura, right?
I'm a great fan of Laura Loomer. You know, I strongly support her current bid for Congress. I didn't really realize when she used to complain about being canceled, being censored, you know, just before I was about to go into the barrel. Remember, I was banned on Twitter as early as 2017. I was taken off of Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok subsequently. This is a form of economic strangulation, as well as trying to silence some people who have strong views and some experience in terms of fighting the next battle for freedom. So yeah. I love Laura Loomer. She's a great woman. She's a great friend, and she's going to be a real pain in the ass for Nancy Pelosi when she gets to Congress.
Well, I had a lengthy conversation with her this morning, and we're going to be getting her back on and doing some other things with her. But she said on here the other night that she believes that you lit a fire under Governor DeSantis' backside because of what you did. So we got to talking about that because she was talking about some of the studies and election audits or whatever they're going to do there. And she said, well, we have to credit Roger Stone, I think, for getting a fire lit under the governor's backside on that one. So she was on here the other night saying you helped to do that. Maybe you guys haven't seen it, but I've seen the list of, and I was telling Michael Lindell about it the other night, all the long list of news articles. I mean, it went everywhere. You can't believe all the conservative and even not conservative websites that picked up the story. Roger Stone is, well, you tell him, Roger, what did you say you're going to do if DeSantis doesn't?
Look, I think a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans, a lot of Trump supporters may be a bit confused about why I've been critical of the governor. But there's a couple key policy issues where, in my opinion, his rhetoric, which I love, doesn't meet the reality. There are 1.6 million phantom voters still on the rolls in Florida. Let me define a phantom voter. Someone who never existed, someone who's moved out of the state, someone who has died, somebody who is registered to an address where there is no residential residence, usually a raw land or an open lot. We believe that based on the laws of mathematical probability and the terrific work done by Defend Florida, that there are as many as 1.6 million of these voters. Now, notice what I'm not saying. I did not say they all voted in the last election. I did not say that I want to audit the Florida election, although it's not the worst idea I've ever heard to find out where the flaws in our system are. There are other states that need auditors much more because Donald Trump won here. But I do know there's 1.6 million voters on the rolls that are phantom. The governor appointed a woman to be head of the Palm Beach County Board of Elections, who secretly then took a $6.8 million payoff from Mark Zuckerberg and didn't tell the public. Now, the governor keeps telling we've had the cleanest elections we've ever had. I say, governor, in the interest of your own state and party, purge the rolls. Number two, the governor has announced with giant fanfare that he has a ban on mask mandates in the public schools. But Brandon, 1.6 million children in the school in the state are still being required to wear masks. Specifically in elementary and middle school, there is some opt-out in high school in about 10 of the most populous counties in the state, who are thumbing their nose at the governor, saying, no, we're going to have mask mandates. Miami-Dade, Palm Beach, Broward, Duval, Orange, other large counties. Now, instead of firing those school board members and replacing them with someone who will support the law and the governor's policies, he fines the counties. Well, the problem with that is the counties then turn to the Biden administration, who is paying the fines. So when the governor says on national TV, there's no mask mandate in Florida, That's just not true. So, Governor, fire those people. You have the authority. You fired Sheriff Scott Israel, and he hadn't broken the law. So the judgment was made that if you made the calculation that there was gross misconduct, you could fire any state or or county official. I agree with that legal analysis. So if you're going to talk the talk on masks and COVID-19, where you have been a leader, then walk the walk. And lastly, I said, in all honesty, I don't think it's fair for Ron DeSantis to run for re-election in 2022 if he's going to run off and challenge Donald Trump for the presidency. I think if he's going to run for governor, he has to stay here and do the job. I have praised him on the things that I think he has done right. But on these issues, I think he has to do the right thing. In all honesty, if you go back and look at it, it was Donald Trump's endorsement of Ron DeSantis that, by which he became governor. Ron DeSantis did not support Donald Trump in 2016, even after he was nominated. I know that's hard to believe. So the president's endorsement took a relatively obscure congressman, and he took the nomination by storm. And then in the final weeks of the gubernatorial race, I believe President Donald Trump dragged Ron DeSantis and Rick Scott over the finish line. So he owes it to the president to have, shall we call it, right of first refusal. If Donald Trump should not be challenged by Ron DeSantis, Ron DeSantis should stay in Florida and finish the job. He's young enough to run for president for many, many, many years. But only Donald Trump can win in 2024, in my opinion. So I'd like the governor to pledge that if he's going to run for re-election, he's going to stay here and not use Florida as a stepping stone to challenge Donald Trump. It's that simple.
Why would he even, I mean, does he really think he would have a chance to get the party's nomination over President Donald Trump?
He can solve this right now. Take a public pledge. I can tell you every other 2024 prospect, and there are many good people and some that are really not good at all. I'm not going to name any names, Mike Pompeo, and others who might be thinking of running. I'm not going to mention people I don't particularly like, Nikki Haley. But, you know, the neocons are all lining up, Brandon, that I can tell you. But even they have had the wisdom to say to Donald Trump, Mr. President, I would certainly defer to you. I believe Trump's our strongest candidate. I continue to believe that. But is Governor DeSantis an ingrate, or is he just a political, you know, opportunist? He's done some good things, but he needs to follow through on election integrity. He needs to follow through on the mask mandate. And then there are other issues that we need to talk about.
So, by the way, you did hear that on Thursday we recorded my film crew, Logan and I, and team went down to Mar-a-Lago and met Mike Lindell, and Mike conducted a 40-minute interview. With the president before and after, but a 40-minute TV interview that will air a week from tomorrow night. Did you know that?
I did know that because I was at Mar-a-Lago this weekend and you had just left. So.
Oh, did you hear about it?
Yes, I was there on Saturday for a dinner, and I saw the president. It could have been more warmer and more friendly. And I had heard from some on the House. I lived there through most of 1999 when Donald Trump was thinking about running. The artwork we have in the back is something we found from the 2000 campaign. He has inscribed it to me. It's something I'm incredibly proud of. So I know the property and know many of the people who worked there, and they just told me, wow, Mike Lindell and Brandon House were just here. So, yeah, I did hear about it. Well, now I know the specifics.
Well, yeah, and I look forward to you seeing it and getting your feedback on that. Let's get ready to open the phone lines up. You want to take some calls, Roger?
I would love to. I haven't done this since I had my own radio show, The Stone Zone. I was on 37 stations with the Genesis Communications Network until Robert Mueller ordered 29 heavily armed, fully SWAT-clad, night goggle-wearing FBI agents to storm my home at 6 o'clock in the morning on the completely fabricated charges that I lied to Congress. Later, Mueller had to release from only by court order his conclusion that he, in fact, had no factual evidence that I'd been involved in Russian collusion or WikiLeaks collaboration or the theft of Podesta's email. Ergo, I had no motive to lie to Congress about anything. But Adam Schiff shared classified documents. There'll be no punishment for that. He leaked testimony. There'll be no punishment for that. So, look, I'm here by the grace of God. There's no question about that. But Brandon, I want to be on the front line of this struggle to save this country. People say, oh, you know, you paid your dues. You were with Reagan, you know, you were with Nixon. Yes, they're all great in their own way, but This country's constitutional freedoms are teetering on the edge. These people are authoritarian. They're bullies. They don't know the law or the Constitution. Their entire plan is to silence us, not to do battle with us, but to silence us, act like we don't exist, essentially cancel us. Nobody's been a worse victim of this than Laura Loomer. I have now felt their wrath. I mean, if you go to Twitter right now, it's a tsunami of hatred of people screaming for my blood.
Yeah, but Twitter is largely filled with bottom feeders and losers anyway.
Facebook, if you may. A lot of grandparents on there.
I much prefer Facebook, and I've actually been able to keep my page there and do stuff there. I shot up to
My argument's a little bit different, Brandon, and that you're right. The people there are losers, but all that hate manifests itself when a man attacks my wife outside our house right before Christmas, as reported to the Fort Lauderdale police. That's a political hate crime.
I don't know how much you've talked about that, and I've never brought it up in any of our interviews, Roger, because I didn't ask you about it off the air, and I didn't want to bring it up on the air until I'd asked your permission to talk about it. But since you brought it up, do you want to tell us that story?
There's some nuance to it. There's a story in the Sun Sentinel, which is unfortunately entirely incorrect. But before Christmas, last Christmas, my wife had been attacked while walking one of our dogs by a pit bull, who both attacked her and bit her very badly and almost killed our Yorkie. The Yorkie survived after $6,000 worth of veterinary bills and several surgeries. Money the Stones don't have right now, but we're dog lovers. And therefore, my wife had a wound on her knee, and the doctors had trouble closing it, because if you stitch it closed, it'll leave a scar. I would say several weeks later, we were coming home from dinner at 8:30 at night. Some crazed man on a bicycle recognized me and started screaming political epithets, most of them far too nasty for a family show like this. I've already pushed that envelope. But it was clearly political. You Russian blank, you're a traitor, you're a spy, you're going to die in prison. And then turns around and tries to run my wife over with the bike, knocking her against the car and opening the wound on her knee where she began bleeding. So she did not sustain an injury in the attack. Alex Jones got that wrong. But it did exacerbate an injury she already had. The police came. They believed it was random. We reported it because I knew some leftist somewhere would claim that we made the whole thing up. No, it's chilling. But who drives those kind of haters? Who drives the kind of haters that attack me in a grocery store or attack me in an airport or attack me in a rally? Now, I'm not complaining. 7 out of 10 Americans who recognize me are friendly, and most of them are strong supporters of Roger Stone and General Flynn and Mike Lindell and other patriots. But many, many times people can't keep their opinions to themselves. I have to travel with professional security whenever I leave far from home. This becomes expensive and a pain in the neck, but it's all that hate churned up on Twitter, on Instagram, and TikTok. It's not healthy, and it has manifested itself.
So let me get a quick answer from you on this one, because the phone lines are lighting up here. You talk about running for governor of Florida if DeSantis doesn't do the right thing. Laura Loomer's running for Congress. I think she had her election stolen. She's going to run in a different district. I think she was endorsed in her last race by President Trump. Why doesn't Roger Stone run for Congress, at least Congress?
Well, first of all, Congress is not the job for me. Secondarily, I'm not candidate material. Look, I'm hardly the most perfect guy in the world. I'm a sinner. I'm redeemed under Christ. I've gone through some wild and difficult times. I'm a veteran of 11 national presidential campaigns. Policy is not my passion, other than the fact that I'm an anti-communist and I believe in freedom and the U.S. Constitution. I'm a libertarian more than I am a conservative. I'm a libertarian-oriented conservative. On the other hand, I'm interested in the mechanics of politics. I know how to elect people, good men and women, to office, and that's what interests me. That's what I'm doing today, helping a select number of candidates that I believe strongly in and that I do some work for. I also have to produce a book that tells my side of the story of the epic Soviet-style show trial that I was subjected to, the pressure I was put under to turn and flip on Donald Trump, and so I could be a one-man article of impeachment, and why I chose not to do that. And the story, yes, whether they like it or not, of my redemption and my being reunited with Jesus Christ and being back in the church of my parents. So it's a story that's never been told. I know leftists and elitists mock it, and they think it's funny and so on. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care, but I have to write that book. I know there's a couple of documentaries in the works. I don't necessarily haven't authorized them, but those are out there. I'm hopeful that they will tell the truth. So I've got plenty to do. Plus, I may be hosting a show myself at a certain platform that you would be familiar with in the near future. I'm in those negotiations. I love radio. It's because I have a face for radio. I like to get my syndicated radio show cranked back up. So I think that's the most effective way. I don't want to run for governor of Florida. I have no illusions about being elected governor of Florida, particularly if I were a Libertarian Party candidate. But I do want Governor Santis to do the right thing. Do the right thing by Donald Trump. Do the right thing by our school children. Do the right thing by our voters, because they're going to steal Florida in the next presidential election if we give them the opportunity.
Absolutely. That Laura Loomer and I had an extensive conversation about that today. They are totally marking up Florida to take Florida. We talked about that extensively. I'm going to go to the phone calls, but I've got the book here. New York Times bestselling author Stone's Rules, How to Win at Politics, Business, Style, Roger Stone, introduction by Tucker Carlson. I could do a whole interview on this one, and we probably should at some point, Roger, because there's a lot of interesting stuff and some funny stuff in here. But the phone lines are lit up. Let's start out with Nate in Nebraska. Nate, line one. Thanks for calling in, Nate.
Hey, Brandon. It's me again.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Firstly, Roger, my condolences are thoughts and prayers with your wife. My mother is a cancer survivor herself, so I will be praying for her.
Thank you.
Secondly, the question I have for you is, there are many January 6th people that have been charged with low crimes. And I'm not trying to take away from your situation and how you're being charged, but what advice would you give to those families that have husbands providing for, or that can't provide for their family?
Well,
what advice do you have for those people?
Here's the first piece of advice. Contact Pete Santilli, because he is networked with a group in the country that is helping provide family support for those who targeted for prosecution in January 6th. Once again, the two-tier justice system. Tucker Carlson's epic new series blows the lid off of January 6th. No, it's not the bloodiest insurrection in our history. In fact, the only gun that goes off inside the building is shot at an unarmed veteran of the Air Force by an officer who should be charged with first-degree murder. But in their woke political world, evidently trespassing justifies murder. This guy goes on TV and he said he would do it again. Well, he's a criminal. He should be prosecuted. That's how backwards this is. So January 6th is clearly, I hate to say it, but some people who have very little political experience may have been manipulated into breaking the law. I've said from the beginning that the entire idea of breaking the law or doing anything violent on November 6th was politically counterproductive to what the president and his smarter supporters were trying to achieve. So our hearts go out to those who are being denied their rights. We're violating the Geneva Conventions in the treatment of some of these January 6th defendants. There are January 6th defendants who are not violent, who are not a flight risk, who are charged with minor crimes, but are being held in solitary confinement. Solitary confinement is by definition cruel and inhuman punishment over a long period of time.
And I read they get together every night and sing the national anthem at an appointed time.
I heard that, and of course, one fellow who was willing to write a letter denouncing Donald Trump, the judge let him out of jail. It just shows you how politically manipulated this whole thing is.
The communists used to do that. If you wrote a letter, you know, denouncing yourself and standing with the communists, you could get lesser time or get out, right?
Well, I mean, the whole thing boggles the mind, and in the end, all the facts will become known. The journalist, Dr. Darren Beatty at Revolver, has done an incredible job of uncovering the FBI. Even the New York Times admits, well, there were FBI informants in the audience. You know, look, the person who's responsible for the destruction of property and the entire setup is very clearly Nancy Pelosi. She had the opportunity to call for the National Guard. She did not do so. And she didn't ask the president to do so. Why not? The whole thing is, I think, quite transparent. Now they're harassing great patriots like General Flynn. I read today that he's been subpoenaed. I guarantee you, General Flynn didn't do anything illegal, not a chance. This man reveres the Constitution. So it's a witch hunt. Let's call it Witch Hunt 3.0, because the Ukrainian farce that I just blew the lid off of was 2.0. This was a pasted together piece of crap. There was never any inappropriate conversation with the Ukrainians. The only thing inappropriate was Joe Biden withholding federal funds from them if they wouldn't lay off investigating his shady son, who, by the way, his art sucks.
Let's go to line two. George from Florida. George, thanks for calling in, George.
Oh, thanks, Brandon. And Roger, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate everything both of you are doing, and Mike Lindell, of course. We're living in historic times. It's really amazing. So I had lots of questions. I hope, first of all, that Roger's wife forgives you for suggesting you run for public office.
Yes.
So my big question is, second to fixing the elections, repairing the election process, second to that is to identify, I believe, Big Pharma as the cash cow for the global criminal enterprise, which is behind fixing the elections and so much else. The crimes that are being committed by Big Pharma right now are just inhumane business practices, and we need to invoke the Nuremberg Law. And really, I'd like to get Roger's thought on whether he thinks Donald Trump is ever going to listen to an argument like that. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
I appreciate that. Look, the president at least came out and said that every person should choose, that these vaccinations should not be mandatory. I think that vaccinations that have had no clinical trials, vaccinations where the manufacturer has no legal liability for the side effects, and vaccinations where you can get vaccinated and then get the virus, then by definition, it is not a vaccination. We know where it was created. We know that Tony Fauci lied about that under oath. We know this. Now, I was charged with lying to Congress when no statement I made, or I should say misstatement, was either relevant or hid any underlying crimes. They were entirely immaterial. This was a clever frame job by Andrew Weissman. That's all it was. And even today, a woman at the Huffington Post, Mary Papenfuss, has an attack piece on me in the first line. She says, I am a felon. Hey, Mary, I'm not a convicted felon. My felony conviction is legally erased through the act of an unconditional pardon. So you're either going to edit it, or this time I will see you in court. I got pretty thick skin, and I'm tired of people taking a poke. But if you read a piece that describes me either as a convicted felon, that is technically incorrect, or a, quote, self-admitted dirty trickster or self-described, just click off and delete right then and there, folks, because I've never said either one of those things.
I've heard that one. I've heard that one.
Yeah, of course you have. It's in every story. It's like they must have one, you know, key on the computer that does the whole sentence. But it's not true. It's a smear of the left. Have I been called a dirty trickster? Yes. Do I acknowledge I've been called them? Yes. By Democrats I've beaten. That's why I think they're so manic to stop me and keep me from the fight. But I'm not going anyplace. I'm just warming up.
Line four, Mary in Texas. Mary, you're on with Roger Stone. Thanks for calling. Hi, Mary.
Well, this isn't Mary. This is Mark from Texas.
Okay. Mark, I think they just typed your name wrong. Sorry, Mark.
That's all right.
Listen, oh, he did correct it below the text. I didn't see it. Sorry. Sorry, Mark.
That's fine. I was disappointed when I looked at Roger's website the other day after you interviewed him, and I was really wanting to get a copy of the book about the Bushes, because the Bushes, of course, are pretty well covered up down here in Texas in many ways. I would like to ask Roger.
Well, wait a minute. Why were you disappointed when you went to the website?
Let me
say.
Because
it's not in print anymore. It wasn't in print anymore. Which I'm disappointed, because I think the one thing that has not been exposed to the public at large is how horrible the Bush family is.
Hold right there, Mark. Let Roger respond. We'll come back to you. Go ahead, Roger.
The book is not out of print. The problem is we can't get more copies of it because of the supply chain problem. Our publisher literally cannot get paper. Now, I learned some time ago that they had delisted it at Amazon, and I asked the publisher, and he said it was an error, and the book will be available again. In fact, it'll be available as I republish it as George P. Bush and the Bush Crime Family, with three additional chapters at the front about the epic corruption of George P. Bush, who's running for attorney general in your home state.
People wow. need to-
Sky's record of sexual assaults against women. We need to know how he got that $6 million house in River Oaks in Houston when he's never had an honest job in his life. And how did he screw up the Alamo Foundation? How do you do that?
So when does that book come out? And when can I interview you about that topic right there?
The Texas Republican primary for Attorney General, I can guarantee you that.
Say that last sentence again.
It will be out before the Republican primary for Texas Attorney General, where George P. Bush is running against my good friend Ken Paxton, who the president is supporting and who I am supporting. So you'll be able to get all the download on the Bushes, how Prescott Bush made his money arming the Nazis, how the Bush family were favorite funders of eugenics and Planned Parenthood, how George Bush was involved in the attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan, about George Bush's long-term affair with a mistress who his wife almost killed herself over. It is all there. This is the Bush crime family. We're talking about drug trafficking. We're talking about assassination. We're talking about pedophilia. It is all in that book, The Bush Crime Family, soon to be republished as George P. Bush and the Bush Crime Family.
And they have not sued you over it, right, Roger?
I welcome their lawsuit anytime they'd like to bring it.
Mark, you have anything else to say, Mark? Okay, so I guess we're gonna, by the way,
I think we blew Mark away.
Go ahead, Mark.
You haven't blown him away. You haven't blown him away. He's still here.
Okay, go.
Great, Mark.
We're big fans of Ken Paxton like you are, and we just can't wait to see it because I think your book should follow in the footsteps in Trump time that our good friend Navarro has put out. So we're hoping you get to become a bestseller.
All right. Well, let me say this. Mark, get your information to Logan. It'd be my privilege to send you one on the house as a gift from me as soon as we have.
That's very kind of you. Logan, put them on hold. Get his address. We'll send that to Roger. Very kind of you, Roger. Well, let me just mention real quick, Roger, some books you do have available. Your excellent book, my favorite so far, the one on The Man Who Killed Kennedy, about LBJ, the Mafia, and CIA. That book is still available in print, as well as Stone Rules, which I have right here. Those books are available right now if people go to stonecoldtruth.com and order those for Christmas, right?
Yeah. Stone's Rules, unfortunately, the rollout that I had planned for this book was interrupted by Mr. Mueller and his thugs. Stone's Rules is basically a handy guidebook for anybody. It doesn't matter whether you're in media or fashion or agriculture or law enforcement or the restaurant business. It doesn't matter what you do. These are the things I have learned in 40 years of the arena. They're not even overwhelmingly ideological, but they are just, you know, they're kind of guidelines about media, style, taste, strategy. It's the guidelines, kind of like Sun Tzu's Art of War, kind of like Machiavelli's The Prince. I highly recommend it to any person who wants to succeed in the game of life.
Excellent. Let's go to Scott in Virginia, line 3. Scott, Virginia, you're on with Roger Stone.
Roger and Brandon, wonderful, wonderful work you guys are doing.
Thank you, Scott.
It is so refreshing to see alternative distribution coming out instead of the big four, and I'm not going to name their names.
Well, thank you, Scott.
In that respect. Roger, I wanted to ask you, because I know obviously you know as well as I do, the closer two arch enemies get to the top, actually those enemies, if they get to the top of their kingdoms, start to mingle and commingle. And I contend, and I wonder if you feel the same way, we're looking at two parties that aren't America anymore.
They're
really not.
That's absolutely true at the elite level of both parties. So the elites in the Republican Party and the elites in the Democratic Party, which is essentially all of that party, at the grassroots, the patriots are still in the Republican Party, but we don't control the party. Kevin McCarthy and Rona Romney McDaniel, who spent no money whatsoever fighting for election integrity the way that great patriot Mike Lindell did, the way that great patriot Mike Flynn did, the way my friend Patrick Byrne did. No, they reap millions using Donald Trump's signature, and they use it to fatten the pockets of their friends and supporters. Don't give a dollar to the Republican National Committee, folks. Not a farthing, not a penny. It's a scam. They don't do anything to stand up for America. Now, that said, yes, the globalists have controlled both parties for a couple decades. However, out of nowhere comes the most improbable brash, confident, pugilistic presidential candidate in American history in Donald Trump. And they laugh at him. They say, come on, this is all decided. It's Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush. Doesn't matter who wins. We all make a fortune. The country continues to decline. We will be crushed by debt. Our civil liberties will be eroded. We'll be locked in these endless foreign wars where our inherent national interests are not clear, but where they are making millions, and we become pawns on their globalist chessboard. Donald Trump essentially staged a hostile takeover of the Republican Party, and we're never going to go back to being the party of the country club. We're back to being the party of Goldwater and Reagan and Trump. And it's time for the feckless, gutless, weak-kneed, lily-livered, white wine-swilling, country club-belonging, green pants-wearing Republicans who stand for nothing to find the door. That's my opinion.
Can someone dictate that, please? Someone dictate that, and let's see. That's good. That's good. I wondered how long you're going to keep going. That's could be a record. That's good. You're always a hoot to have on.
This is how I feel. Look, I spent 20 years in the corroded of the two-party system.
Yeah.
I've seen it all up close.
Other than using the S word, which is one of the four or five words banned here, by the way, it's been a hilarious interview.
Look, when it comes to being funny, nobody can top Mike Lindell. So the guy's, he makes his point again and again, but he always uses humor to do it. I've seen him do it. I admire it.
Okay, let's go to Josh. We're going to take a couple more calls here. 901-316-8404, 901-316-8404. We really thought we were going to have an 800 number, and I finally said, why are we going to spend money on an 800 number? Nobody needs to have an 800 number. They all use cell phone and have unlimited cell phone coverage, most of them, in free long distance. So we said, forget the 800 number. Let's save money. 901-316-8404 is the number. This time it really is Mary, I think. Mary, line one in Texas. Mary, thanks for calling in. You're on with Roger Stone.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, God bless you both. I've just been awake for almost 3 years, and my question is, I've got I'm awake now. My brother is woke, but he's a reader. But his heart is broken. He hasn't accepted Jesus. He's a long story, alcoholic, etc. And I'm wondering about the book. I ordered it and got The Man Who Killed Kennedy because my brother is a reader. And he shook LBJ's hand back in 64 or 63 out in Fort Davis, Texas. Wondering if I could give him this book. Is this book for woke people or awake people?
This book tells the stunning story of how John F. Kennedy was murdered in a plot basically at the direction of Lyndon Baines Johnson. Yes, organized crime was involved. Yes, the CIA was involved. Yes, the Dallas Police Department, the governor of Texas, the Secret Service, they are all involved. Yes, it's quite a claim, but you can ask Brandon House. I think I made my case in that book. Look, the single...
And let me just say right there, I have studied as a hobby the JFK assassination for 30 years, watched a lot of documentaries, read a lot of books, and I will tell you this was, to me, the book that nailed it down. I knew some of the evidence in there, and so I knew he was on the right trail, but he nailed it all down and brought out a lot of new information I never heard, had it fully footnoted, documented. It's a thick book, and when all is said and done, I think Roger Stone figured it out to a T. But go ahead, Roger.
So I do have one other topic that I've got to hit because this is kind of an emergency. This past weekend, when Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe, a friend of mine, had both his home and his office raided by the FBI, there were an extraordinary number of online hacks of various conservative journalists, specifically the Central Florida Post, which is the exact outlet that, as you know, exposed the filthy pornographic books that are being given to our children in grade school and high school by these school boards all around the country. That story was big. Jacob Engels was the investigative journalist who found the book, who tried to read it in a school board meeting in Orange County, was ousted by the police. It was good enough for school children, but it was too raw and nasty for adults. And right after that, the Central Florida Post was not only hacked, but somebody attempted to download a bunch of Russian language files. Now Central Florida Post, one of my favorite outlets, they've crashed. You can go to Give, Send, Go, where they've set up a website. I'm going to help these young guys get back up. I've offered them to be able to publish their investigative journalists at stonecoldtruth.com until they can recover their footing. But this is the kind of intrusion that was run at frankspeech.com when that threatened the ruling cabal. Now you see it in the case of the Central Florida Post. This is the biggest problem in the country. They do not want us to speak because, as Plato said, he who is most hated is the truth teller. This is why they despise us. It's why they vilify us, why they defame us, because we're telling the truth about vaccinations, about elections, about our foreign policy, and about our president crapping his britches.
Let's go. Two more calls. I got to wrap this up because I still have Mike Hammond with Gun Owners of America about the Kyle case in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Kyle Rittenhouse. And then I have Robert Spencer with jihadwatch.org. But let's go quickly to Josh in Texas, line two. Josh, you're on with Roger Stone.
Evening, gentlemen. It's an honor and a privilege. In a couple of days in San Antonio, here in San Antonio, there is the Reawaken America Tour. I couldn't help but notice that in the advertisement for the tour, there's an audio recording of a man known as a prophet, a Christian, a man who has a ministry, House of Destiny, Kim Clement. Now, Roger, I used to watch you back in 2016 on Trey Smith's YouTube, and that's kind of where I found out about you, and I have to say, you've come a long way, and you look great, and I pray that for you that the best is yet to come. I just wanted to ask if you would mind sharing what kind of effect Kim has had on your life and on your faith and for the future.
You thought, Roger, when he talked about something about a stone, he might have been referring to you?
I think that's what he's in. First of all, I will be in San Antonio on Thursday for that great event. I'm also going to take the opportunity to endorse Chad Prather for governor of Texas. I went to this Young Republican National Federation, had this fabulous cocktail party. They were in town. I'm a former national chairman from 1977 to 79. They were very gracious, met a lot of great people, but I kept meeting people from Texas, and I would say to them, who are you for? And they said, oh, we're for Governor Abbott. And I say, really? You know, he big on the lockdowns, he's a kind of a rhino. And they said, well, who are you for? And I said, I'm for Chad Prather. And they said, oh, he can't win. That's not the right answer. They told me Ronald Reagan couldn't win. They told me Donald Trump can't win. Folks, support the candidates you believe in, not the people who you think can win. Now, I'm not disrespecting anybody here. Everybody's allowed to make their own choice. But I'm going to be endorsing Chad Prather because I think Governor Abbott is a disappointment in every way in Texas. In any event, I will be there for that event. Kim Clement is deceased. He was a prophet. He made a number of uncannily accurate prophecies about the United States and about the rise of Donald Trump, the two impeachments that he predicts. But at a certain time, he was preaching, and he said that the brothers of Goliath were giddy about the destruction of America, and they didn't believe that America could survive. And they asked David, so what is your plan? What is your plan for the giant? And the Lord shall pick up a simple stone. Remember that name, he says. I've watched this video 1,000 times.
It's very interesting. Now, I personally, just for disclaimer, I don't believe in modern-day prophets and apostles, but I do believe we have prophetic people that speak forth truth, lift up a warning, give a shout and a warning, but that's a debate for another show.
I'm still a Roman Catholic. I'm not sure that I believe it either, other than to say that if the Lord has a mission for me, I will fulfill it.
That's right.
I believe my life was spared for a purpose. I don't need to go through anybody to talk to Christ. I can get down on my knees and talk to him anytime I want.
That's right. There is no mediator between Christ. There is no mediator between God and man but Christ Jesus, the Bible says. Chuck, line three. I got to hurry. I got one more call. Chuck from North Carolina. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hi, Brandon. Hi, Roger. I thank you guys for all you do. And Brandon, I'm so glued to Lindell TV. I went and bought me some AirPods for my iPhone. I listen to you all day long. And I pray for you guys and you
thank
too,
you,
Roger.
Chuck.
My question is, so I woke up Saturday morning. I was so depressed because I found out this bill had passed. I'm like, what in the world? I just didn't believe it would pass, this infrastructure bill. But it's passed. So Saturday, I was all depressed about it. And then I think Marjorie Taylor Greene had the 13 Republicans that had voted yes for it. And I'm like, how could they do this? And you know, I'm learning more about politics and so forth as time goes on and all that's going on in our country. But what is it that those 13 Republican congressmen, what were they given? I mean, were they bribed?
All right, let me get that question real quick, Chuck. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, they're Republicans in name only. In other words, they're in office to aggrandize themselves, line their pockets or the pockets of their friends. It's not clear that they believe in anything. We won't know until years now if some of them were bought or some of them were never with us to begin with. But I spoke earlier about cleaning out the Republican Party, so here's where we can start. How about a viable primary challenge for every one of those rhinos in their district? Now what they're counting on is so many will rise to challenge that it will split the opposition among those who support the Constitution and so, and are against this economic disaster that they're about to foist upon us. So we have to be careful to get behind people who have the resources or the ability to get the resources to win. Somebody who knows how to organize. Look, I've already told people that if the president of the United States doesn't run in 2024, if he chooses not to run, I'm going to try to draft General Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. I don't want a career politician. I want somebody with the guts to take on the globalists and the socialists and the far left of the Democratic Party who's not going to Washington to play patty cake with these people.
Let's go to Kim, California. Last call for Roger. Kim, California, line four. Go ahead, Kim. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Brandon.
Hi,
thank
Kim.
You for everything that you do.
Thank you.
I have a major concern. With Durham dropping down all of his indictments, I am worried about Mueller. If you remember, he couldn't even read his own report. Now in the media, I'm seeing that he has dementia. Now, how is he going to be held responsible if he has dementia? Will we ever get any resolve?
Look, I don't, and I just, you know, Brandon said at the top that we anticipate additional indictments from Mr. Durham. We don't know that as a certainty. He has certainly laid it out the trail. They're all there. And the Mueller investigation has been debunked, basically, mostly on the declassified documents that were generated through the leadership of Rick Grenell. So we now know this is a fraud. Whether Mueller himself will ever get his just desserts, he keeps pointing out that I'm a convicted felon. Stop, Bob. I'm not a convicted felon. And there's never any evidence that I was in touch with Russian intelligence, apostrophe S, multiple agents. That's a fraud. So I don't think that he will get his punishment in this life, if you catch my meaning. But
Roger,
he will get his punishment.
Roger, before I let you go, I'm going to frame this. Never give up to Brandon House, signed by Roger Stone. Roger's wearing the shirt. Roger Stone did nothing wrong as he's walked in by the FBI into – that's the morning he was arrested. Now, does everyone get theirs signed?
Yes, you go to stonecoldtruth.com, and you can get your own signed photo. I also have signed copies of my pardon. You know, being canceled, being censored, being deplatformed, it makes it very difficult to make a living. And as I said earlier, only we are responsible for my wife's all-natural cancer therapies, which she's doing extraordinarily well on, so I don't want to stop. So, yes, you can get those items at stonecoldtruth.com by going to the store, stonecoldtruth.com. If I didn't say it enough, stonecoldtruth.com. God bless you.
And what is the family fund?
That's the stonefamilyfund.com.
I think Logan has a graphic for it.
That would be terrific. We appreciate your prayers. They're more important than anything else. But we also can use your help. She is winning her fight, but now is not the time to quit. The THC therapy, the CBD therapy, the intravenous vitamin infusions of B, D, B17 treatments, which is essentially Laetril, the oxygenation of her blood, the oxygenation of her water. These are very successful therapies. They're perfectly legal, but they're somewhat expensive. So, yes, we do need people's help, but above all, we need your prayers.
And prayers, then, of course, if they want to get books for Christmas, Stone's Rules and LBJ book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, those are available to ship now. And then you have the Stone Defense Fund, right, Roger?
That is true. So, look, hopefully by Christmas, the Joe Biden supply chain nonsense will be over and all my books will be available. That would be great. It's not that they're out of print. We can't get any more of them because the publisher literally cannot get paper to print them on.
Okay.
This is Joe Biden's America.
And yes, will you let me know when the new book comes out about George P. Bush, and we'll do a whole interview on that.
I would love to do that. I look forward to it.
And then you got the Stone Defense Fund, right?
Yeah, Stone Defense Fund. If you want to help us fight back against the crackpot leftists who are suing me and President Trump, trying to imply that we had something to do with January 6th, claiming that we violated people's civil rights. Nonsense. These are harassment lawsuits designed to make you spend money and grind you down and break your spirit. So if you go to stonedefensefund.com, stonedefensefund.com, lawyers are expensive. I thank the 65,000 Americans who helped me finance my legal defense in the Soviet-style show trial that I've already been through. God bless you all for your support. But I'm not going to settle these suits, and I'm not going to quit. I will not ever quit fighting. This is just an attempt to destroy me because they couldn't kill me in some federal prison where they wanted to send me, based on trumped-up, nonsensical charges that Mueller himself even admits now were bogus.
And Roger, thanks for helping me get JFK Jr. booked on his new book about Fauci. I have him on a week from this Thursday, thanks to you. And any help you can get me in getting James O'Keefe book would be greatly appreciated.
I will reach out to James. He's a great man.
Awesome. Thank you, Roger, for all you do and for being with us so often. We love having you on here at Lindell TV.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Roger. Roger Stone checking in tonight, stonecoldtruth.com.